Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Pause. And the premise of it is we believe that everything that bears fruit in our life comes from a root. And if there are dynamics in our lives that are very good and we're bearing good fruit, then there is a root cause because of that. And we have to discover what the root cause is of good in our life so that we can do more of it. Amen? And if there are areas of your life that are struggling, that are not producing good fruit, but are producing maybe bad fruit, negative fruit. You know, you're living in a way, thinking in a way, responding in a way, acting in a way that's bringing about a negative response into your heart and to your mind. We have to discover what the root cause of that is so that we can eliminate that and stop that flow into our hearts. Amen? Amen. I was telling somebody this morning, I was doing my devotions, and it was talking about at Luke 7, and it was saying, you know, that a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit, and then it comes from the overflow of the heart. And I said, you know, I think the Word of God is like a dialysis machine, and that when I stay in it, when I get into the Word and I stay into the Word, what it does is it takes every thought and every emotion, and it takes every action and every response and every reaction of mine that is flesh. And when it runs through the Word, it kind of picks out all the impurities, and what it puts back is healthy and good and strong. And I may not always see the immediate change in my life. I may not always see, okay, God, I'm a set my heart on getting better, and then the next day I'm a completely new person. But I'm telling you, when you stay in the Word and when you walk with Christ and you walk these things out bit by bit by bit, you're going to be better, you're going to be stronger, you're going to be built up, you're going to look more and more like Him and less like the world, and it will get your heart right and your mind right and your spirit right. So we need to be people of the Word, amen? Now listen, I know it's kind of cloudy, and I know it's a little rainy, but don't fall asleep on me today. Y'all seem very comfortable. Is that a nice way of saying that? So if you see somebody's head bobbing, just flick them right in the Adam's apple. All right. So last week we talked about bitter roots, and I gave you 3 points. One is bitter roots deceive. And how the enemy tries to convince us that God is holding out on us and get us bitter towards God. Because I think ultimately when you peel everything else away, when you get down to the very foundation of sin in our life, it is because we are angry at God, we are bitter towards God, because we feel like if God really loved me, He would want me to have this. If God really loved me, He would okay me to say this. And it comes from that. We get deceived in our thinking, just like Adam and Eve, still happens today. So bitter roots deceive. The second thing was bitter roots defile. That when the enemy is able to get us to eat the fruit of bitterness, one of the things that happens is it's never something we keep to ourselves. And I share, and this is honestly of last week's message, that is what I have probably prayed the most about in my life, is that God, in the moments where the enemy tricks me or deceives me or causes pain in my life, do not let me, help me to guard my heart so that I don't take the fruit, bite the fruit, and then hand it to someone else. I don't want to hand the fruit of the enemy to my wife or to my children. I don't want to hand the fruit of my enemy to my friends or to people whom I love, because that's what the enemy wants us to do. He always wants us to share the pain. And so he deceives us. He defiles us. And the last is bitter roots depress. And bitterness is at the root is anger towards God. And how Jesus, when he hung on the cross, when you read the story of the crucifixion, they took the sponge, they put gall on it, they put it to his mouth. It says he tasted it, but he would not drink it. And how in this world, all of us are going to taste bitterness. All of us are. You're just not going to be able to live on this world and not have it come to your doorstep, not have it come to your heart. And you may taste it, but the great thing that the Word shows us is we don't have to drink it. That Jesus, right after that, didn't drink it, turned away, and moments later said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He responded out of love and not out of bitterness, so we can do those things. And I heard a great quote this week that I'm going to throw it in. It's this, be greater than your suffering. Be greater than what you suffer. And I read that, and I love that, because we're all, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. There's going to be hard things that come along. There's going to be challenges that come along. But here's the thing, no matter how big the challenge is, we can be greater than it, can't we? We can overcome in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, by Christ, and overcome in our lives. Now, in this world, we're going to have these things, but we don't have to let the root of bitterness take hold in our lives. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about better roots. And I want to lay a couple of scriptures out for us to build off of, a foundation. And I'm going to start in Proverbs 12. I'm going to read verses 3, and I'm going to read 12. And it says this: a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Romans 11, 16. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. Well, who's the root? Who are the branches? I'm going to say that again so we're all in this. Who is the root? And who are the branches? So if he is holy, we can be holy. Amen? He was set apart, we are set apart. That's what holy means, to be set apart. So I have a couple of thoughts this morning, and all of them are kind of prefaced by this. Better roots need to be, and the first word is planted. Better roots need to be planted. I want to show you a great scripture, one that I think we can pray over our lives every day. It's found in 2 Kings 19, verse 30, and it says this: and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The root goes down and the fruit grows up. And I want to say this morning that if you want to bear fruit in your life, you're going to have to take root. You're going to have to be settled in the things of God. Anytime that you're in the scripture, be it a devotion, be it a small group, be it a Sunday a.m. service, if you let the word of God take root in your life, it is going to bear fruit, and it's going to be fruit that remains. It's going to be fruit that lasts. Isaiah 37, 31 tells us the same thing. And I love the way that this is worded, because I want you to notice this word again. He says, and the remnant who have escaped the house of Judah shall, and what's that word? Again. Again, take root. And he's using the word again because Judah has messed up. Judah has fallen short. Judah got tripped up. But he says, let them again take root downward. Now, the reason for this is this. Judah had been walking with the Lord. And you know what they've done? Sometimes happens is we can be so determined we're going to walk with Jesus. And we kind of set our mind on it and our heart on it. And we start disciplining ourselves to live a certain way and act a certain way and read the word and spend time in prayer and be faithful to church and do all of these good things, these right things. What happens sometimes is as we go on, we begin to kind of get a little casual. Anybody ever got casual in your walk with God? Man, we did. So we read the Bible every single day. And one week you said, I'm a little tired this morning. I'm not going to get up. And man, God will understand. And so you miss a morning. And then all of a sudden, I'll make it up tonight. And all of a sudden, you get off schedule. You get off rhythm. And all of a sudden, you know, you don't find yourself reading the Word of God as much as you used to. But it's okay because, man, God knows my heart. We get a little casual. We kind of drift a little bit. We become casual in our pursuit of him. And sometimes we even go as far as where we could drift so far that we kind of turn our backs and we begin to pursue our own desires and we begin to pursue our own interests. Well, here's an incredible promise for you. You can take root again. You see, we all have areas of our lives that we have good fruit, and we all have areas of our lives that we don't have good fruit, that we have bad fruit. And in the areas that we don't have good fruit, we need to take root again. So if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor West, man, I'm struggling in marriage. Well, how do we take root again in our marriage? All right, instead of sitting there every Sunday or every day of your life saying, my marriage isn't where it ought to be, I'm going to take root. And what does that mean? That means I'm going to get some counseling. I'm going to take root. That means I'm going to go talk to somebody. I'm going to go to one of our marriage small groups. And you know what? We're not just going to be content with leaving our marriage where it is, but we're going to do something about it so that the negative root, the bad root, can be plucked out and the good root can be planted firmly. That's what that means. Do something. Sow a better seed in that area of your life. And when you sow a quality seed, when you sow a better seed to that area of your life, it's going to bear fruit and grow. Maybe your struggle this morning is financially. Well, you know what? Sign up for Dave Ramsey's. Well, we just struggled. We've always struggled. Are you happy with it? Well, no. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm just going to do the same thing I've always done, and you're going to be the same place you've always been. That's the definition of insanity, right? To do the same thing you've always done and expect different results. And so if we're struggling, do something about it. Sign up for Dames Ramsey. Sow some good seed in that area of your life so that you can bear a different fruit from that area of your life. And it goes against, I mean, anything. It could be relationships. It could be parenting. It could be being a single. It could be, I mean, it doesn't matter the topic. The answer is still the same. In an area of your life that you aren't bearing good fruit, we need to sow good seed and plant it there so that it will grow. You see, where you've had bad fruit, take root again. Don't get discouraged because maybe you've messed up. Just take root again. Seeds have to be planted. Better roots have to be planted. And listen to me, it is not enough to come once a week and have good seeds spread on your life. Can I say that? It is not enough to spread seed on top of the ground once a week. I love seeing you. I do. But can I tell you something? God wants to see you every day. Please don't let the time in the Word in your life only be on a Sunday morning. Please don't let your time in the presence of God only be on a Sunday morning during our worship. Get into the Word of God. And what I mean by this is this. Listen, I use a lot of Scripture, and there's a reason for that. There really is. Because the Word of God says that the Word never returns void. And so I use a lot of Scripture. And what can happen is this. There can be a Sunday, probably quite a few of them, that I stink. But if I use the Word of God is never going to come back void. Something, His Word, will settle on something in your spirits. And even if I was terrible, how many know God's still good? And so that's why I use a lot of Word, man. That's why I get us in the Scripture every day, because even if I stink that Sunday, the Word's never going to come back void. But you coming on a Sunday and hearing the Word that one day a week is not enough. You can't just have good seed spread on you. It has to get planted in you, in your heart, in that good soil. Psalms 92, 13 and 14 says this, and I love this. For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. I want to ask you a question. Who's going to bear fruit? All right, y'all are missing the whole point of this. All right, so I'm going to ask a question, and then I want y'all to answer. Who is going to bear fruit even in their old age? We are. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Who's going to flourish even in their seed? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. I love that people attend, but listen, attendance isn't enough. My heart is that you get planted in the house of the Lord. There are ministries here that need you. There's children down in nursery that need you. We have kids in LOL Wednesday nights that need you. We have young people that need you, that maybe they don't have a mom. Maybe they don't have a dad in their life. And you come in and you're serving and you're loving. And you know what you find out? You find out they begin to look at you as a man or a woman of God in their life. And they value that. And your words are life to them. We have adult classes that need your attendance. We have people who need classes taught. God has teachers out here that, you know what? You're not using your gift. We need you. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Y'all are like so quiet today. It's freaking me out. It's weirding me out, all right? I got problems anyway. I can always count on our ex-member, Ivan Johnson. Listen, the thing is this, I have said this for years, and I say it because I believe it. I believe that our best ministries are yet to be started. And you know where these ministries sit? They're sitting in your hearts right now. And God is waiting on you. God is waiting on you. So sign up for Real Life if you haven't been through it. Go to our membership, our partnership class if you haven't been through it yet. Get the ball moving. Do something to take out the bad root and to sow the good seed into that area of our life. And the thing is this, I know that all of us are busy. We live in a place in the nation that there's always something going on. And you say, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm so busy. So much going on. Here's the thing. I know we're all busy, but are you fulfilled? I know people who run from dark to dark, and you're not fulfilled. Can I tell you something? Ministry will fulfill you. And I said it earlier. It's just that God just dropped this in my spirit. In the mornings I come, I sit back there by Bill Jewell and Ted Sloper. That's my little prayer spot. And I'm back then, I'm talking, and God just dropped this thing in my spirit that, you know, so many people say, well, I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not where I ought to be. Listen, the only platform you need ministry is obedience to God. And if you're willing to obey Him, God can use you. I don't care what your educational level is. I don't care what your social level is. I don't care. You have tons of friends or only one, and you call her mom. All right. Too many things take our time. Too many things take our energy. Too many things take our resource, and they don't fill us. Ministry will fill you. But you've got to get planted in the house of the Lord. And it doesn't say those who attend will bear fruit. It doesn't say that those who attend will flourish in the courts of the Lord. It doesn't say those who attend will be fresh and flourishing. It says those who are planted. Better roots need to be planted in our lives. That's point number one. Number two is simply this. Better roots need to be watered. Amen. That's baby language for go, pastor. Better roots need to be watered, all right? If you're going to have better roots in your life, they have to be watered. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, will not be anxious in the year of drought, but nor will cease from yielding fruit. Listen, can you imagine living a life without anxiety? How many of you get anxious? How many are anxious about even raising your hand right there? Like, should I? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. I'm so stressed. Why does he put me? Listen, he said, without anxious, you won't be anxious in the year of drought. Even when it's tough times, you're not going to freak out. You're going to be okay because you're rooted in God. And that seed is being watered, even in the heat, when everything else around you is shriveling, when it seems like we're not going to make it through because I'm rooted in Christ and I'm watering that in my life. Listen, the Word of God is the water to our souls. When I'm in the Word, I said earlier, it's like a diet, it kind of takes out the impurities. It kind of keeps me healthy. It keeps me strong. And it builds you up. You've got to understand them. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, which is what? The Word of God. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall... Man, wouldn't that be awesome? What do you think, Dottie? Are you going to sign up for that with me? Whatever we do is going to prosper. See, when you get planted in the house of God, when you get your roots established, and I'm not talking about once a week throwing some seed on top of the ground, but I'm talking about giving your heart and your life and your mind to God and saying, God, open me up where I need to be open, plant that seed deep within, and I know it may hurt, and I know the pruning process is not enjoyable, but I want for my life what you have for my life. And I open my life up, and I get the seed inside, and then I begin to water it with the Word of God. I begin to water it with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I begin to water it in my life with His presence, meditating on His Word in the house of God, and whatever you do will prosper. Now listen, I'm not talking about, you know, faith prosperity. There's two gospels that I believe aren't gospel. Prosperity gospel, I do not believe is gospel. I'm just going to claim me a Bentley for the name of Jesus. And here's the thing, you can do that. but don't touch it because the alarm will go off and the owner will have you arrested. All right? It's just bad mojo. I think sometimes we get a little confused. I do not believe that that is gospel, but nor do I believe that poverty is gospel. You know what the gospel? The gospel is, I will provide all you need. And that's the word of God, and I can hold on to that. You see, reading the word, meditating on the word, studying the word of God, learning it will water the roots of our lives. And when we get into the word of God in whatever area that you need. Listen, I said, listen, if you're in marriage issues, listen, go to the word of God and look up everything you can find on marriage. If you're here today and it's finances, look up everything you can find on finances. If you're here today and it's relationships, look up everything you can find on relationships through the Word of God. See what God has to say. What if it's lust? What if it's anger? What if it's envious? What if it's jealousy? Whatever area in your life you need the Word of God to come into, look it up, find it, discover it, write it out. And I'm telling you, God will show you His Word. And when you get the Word inside of you, when it is planted and when it is watered by the Word of God and watered by the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, a different root will begin to grow in your life in that area. It may not be a Jack and the Beanstalk. Now, I'm being serious, man, because I'm not trying to give you a false hope. Listen, it may not be this sooner. You look up two scriptures, go to bed, and the next morning you wake up and there's a beanstalk in your hand. You know, that's not always how it works. It may take a while. My son, Chase, he's 12. I know he's 13 now, isn't he? I'm going to start letting him drive. I was driving when I was like 9. Now, it was a tractor, but Chase, when he was much younger, came in the house one day, and we had a couple years ago that all the oak trees really dropped tons of acorns. Do y'all remember that? Anybody's yards? If you had yards, you know what I'm talking about. It was like scary to mow. You're mowing, it's just acorns flying all. He came in the house, and he said, Dad, this is my acorn. And he carried this acorn around with him for a week or two, just in his pocket. I don't know. He gets that from his mother's side of the family, all right? And so one day, I look and I see the acorn laying on the floor, and I kind of picked it up, and I was getting ready to go and throw it away because it was just laying around the house. And God kind of gripped my heart about it. And God said, Wes, I want you to hold on to that. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And I'm going to tell you what God showed me. See, we all want God's best. For our lives and for our marriages, for our finances, for our relationships, however it goes. We all want God's best. And what God said was to me, or I really felt like God said to me, was this. Wes, everybody wants an oak tree, but sometimes I give you an acorn. And you got to plant it and water it and take care of it, and it will grow. And it will be an oak tree one day. But it's not there yet. And so I've kept this. This is kind of my promise to God, that my kids are going to be oak trees, that if I raise them, if I love them, if I care for them, if I'm a godly man before them, if I discipline when they need to be disciplined, when I stand over them, when I pray over them, and when my wife and I try to lead them and raise them to the best of our ability, it's not overnight, but in time, they will be a mighty oak. And so when God gives you this seed, this promise, just think, it's got to be planted, and we water it with the Word of God. And it may not happen overnight, but I'm telling you, if you're faithful, your acorn will become an oak tree, and we can give God praise for it. Okay? This applies any area of your life, marriages, relationships, parenting, being single, being married, being rich, being broke. I don't care where you are. It applies to every area of those things. The more that you dig and water with the Word, the better it will become and continue to become, because there's always more in Christ to learn. Now, listen to me. Your life is going to be watered with words, either by God's Word or by the enemy's Word. I want to say that again, because I don't want you to be deceived into thinking, well, if I'm not in God's Word, there's no words. No, the enemy is always talking to you. He's always telling you you're not enough. He's always telling you you're never going to get back where you ought to be. He's always telling you that it's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. He's always got something to say. And if we don't combat his word with God's word, we begin to take his word as true for our lives. Am I lying to you? But when I begin to combat it with God's word, let me tell you what happens as I begin to realize what he's saying is a lie. And my wife has said this years ago, and I love it. She says, most of the time I find that whatever the devil tells you, the opposite is usually true. So when he says you're not enough, guess what? God says you're more than enough. When he says it's never going to change, God says, I'm already working it out for your best. Hallelujah. We got to be people in the word. So it's either going to be God's word or our word. Revelations 12:15 says this. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. And there the woman is the picture of the church, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Have you ever felt like there was a flood of words coming against you? You ever felt like somebody always had something to say about you? Never to you, because that would be the right thing, but about you. The only way to combat that is to get God's word and remember what God says. You raise up a standard against it through his word. Amen? Better roots need to be planted. Better roots need to be watered. And lastly, better roots need to be fertilized. In Luke 13, we're given this parable. It's a beautiful parable. Verses 6 through 9, and he says, as he also spoke this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he, the vine keeper, the gardener, answered him and said this, sir, leave it alone this year also until I dig around it and I fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, meaning good. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Listen, if you have an area of your life that is not bearing good fruit, you got to fertilize it. You've got to do this. Now, when I was a kid, I grew up kind of in the country. And as a young man growing up, we were surrounded by, our school was, a little school I went to, was surrounded by fields. And every spring, all the farmers would go out and they would fertilize their field. Now, those of you who grew up in country, you know what people use for fertilizer sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. It's nasty. And I can remember as kids, you know, we'd get a break or a recess or something. We'd be all excited. We'd go running outside to play kickball. And you're like, oh, no. We'd go back. Oh, it's nasty. Fertilizer. Spread manure over all the fields, man. And it would just reek for a couple of days. It stunk so bad. Listen, some of you this morning might have a situation that feels like manure. I'm serious. It stinks. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. It's painful. But I'm going to tell you how to fertilize this in your life. To fertilize your life is to press through the tough times. We fertilize things with prayer. When we find ourselves dealing with hard situations, what do? We cry out to God. When things are going great, you know what we do? We sometimes drift. We sometimes get comfortable. We sometimes get a little casual. But man, when something's going wrong in your life, you're all after God. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to know you. God, where are you? I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. God, you're going to show up. And so sometimes God allows these fertilizer situations in our lives so that we will have our eyes and our hearts open again so we can come back to him and seek him like he desires to be sought. Sought? Seeked. Man, I would kill at Scrabble. When we find ourselves dealing with hard situations, we go after Jesus. There's an area, or if there's an area that's not bearing fruit, and the owner wanted to cut it down and just move on, but the keeper of the vineyard said, wait, let's do this. Let's give it a little more time. Let's pull out all the weeds. Let's get the thorns all out of the way. Let's make the roots reachable, and let's water it, and let's fertilize it. Let's give it what it needs to grow and to bear fruit, but you've got to get to the root. Have you ever gone to a restaurant, not so much now, but sometimes in the spring when everybody is out and putting out fresh malt. And Jeff, you got a lawn care business. You know what I'm talking about. Fresh malt has a, how shall we say it, an odor. It stinks horribly. I love the smell. He loves the smell. It is. I, There we go. And sometimes he takes handfuls and he just, it's all good. And so here's the thing. You kind of pull up in front of your favorite restaurant and you're expecting to get out of your car and just kind of smell it. You know, go up here to Edie's Chicken or the chicken place up here and the parking lot smells like chicken, you know. But you ever got out to go into the restaurant? When you get out, there's that fresh malt and it's like, oh, I'm not eating that. And here's the thing. It stinks for a moment, but in time it makes things look beautiful. And I think sometimes the situations in our lives like that, that those fertilizing moments, they stink for the moment. But if I turn to God and I say, God, plant truth in me, water it with your word, and let my roots go down so that my fruit may go up, in time, it's a beautiful thing. Amen? I'm saying this because some of you have situations in your life that stink. Some of you are facing hardships. Some of you are facing struggle in your marriage, in your finances, in your relationships, with your children, with jobs. I don't know where it is. You know where it is because it's your pain and you feel it. And I want to encourage you. I know they're not fun or easy or comfortable, that they're painful. But if you turn to God in time, he will make it beautiful. The acorn can become an oak tree. Your pain can all of a sudden become a purpose to press for God and watch God do what only God can do. A text I gave you earlier, 2 Kings 19:13 says, the remnant who have escaped the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. I want to give you the context of this portion of scripture. And it's a lot of scripture, but it reads like a story. I'm going to give it to you in the Message translation. Hezekiah has become the king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he took the throne. He reigned for 29 years, and God defines him as a good king. Not a perfect king, but a good king. Now, we don't always do the right thing, and some of us have good roots in our lives, and some of we have bad roots in our lives, but God will see us through all of that. And I want to show you how the enemy came against Hezekiah. This was his fertilizer situation and how God delivered him. You see it in 2 Kings chapter 18, 13, 14. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, attacked all the outlying fortresses cities of Judah and captured him. Then King Hezekiah sent a message to the king of Assyria at his headquarters in Lachish. I've done wrong, I admit it. Pull back your army, I'll pay whatever tribute you set. The king of Assyria demanded tribute from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold. All right, now at today's rate, 11 tons of silver would be around $11 million, and one ton of gold would be about $41 million. So whip out your checkbook and just write the king of Assyria a quick check for 48 mil and pray that he tithes. All right? Here's the thing. So Hezekiah pays the 48 million. And where do you think he got that money? Did he break all his kids' piggy banks? No. Did he sell some stocks? No. Did he bet on the Redskins? No. I did hear that there's a shortage of coal this year, so Santa's going to be giving all the bad little kids Dallas Cowboy stuff.
Stick to preaching.
Stick to preaching. All right. 2 Kings, here's what happened. Hezekiah turned over, listen to this, all the silver he could find in the temple of God and in the palace treasuries. Hezekiah even took down the doors of the temple of God and the doorposts that he had overlaid with gold, and he gave them to the king of Assyria. He gave the tithe. King Hezekiah, in his fertilizer moment, stole from God. He didn't do everything right, but God comes through for him when he turns to the Lord again and he takes root again. And so the king of Assyria sends officers and he sends three of them, and the third one begins to speak. Now, one of the things you got to know, this is after he's paid the tribute, after he's paid the ransom. One of the things you need to know about the enemy, if the enemy ever says, listen, if you do this, I'll leave you alone. All right, he's a liar. All right, do you know how many of us fall for this? We just think, if I just do this, it'll just, it's done. I'll go, it'll be fine. I can control it. I'm in control of this. The enemy will never leave you alone. 2 Kings 19:25, the third officer, Rabshakeh, was spokesman, and he said, tell Hezekiah a message from the great king, the king of Assyria. And I love this. You're living in a world of make-believe, of pious fantasy. Do you think that mere words are any substitute for military strength and troops? Now that you've revolted against me, who can you expect to help you? You thought Egypt would, but Egypt is nothing but a paper tiger. One puff of wind and she collapses. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is nothing but bluff and bluster. Are you going to tell me we rely on God? But Hezekiah had just eliminated most of the people's access to God by ridding all of the local God shrines, ordering everyone in Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship at Jerusalem altar only. So be reasonable. Make a deal with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you think you can provide riders for them. You can't do it. Well, then how do you think you're going to turn back even one raw buck private from my master's troops? How long are you going to hold on to that figment of your imaginations, these hoped-for Egyptian chariots and horses? Do you think I've come here to destroy this country? And this is the enemy talking. Without the express approval of God? The fact is, God expressly ordered me attack and destroy this country. Remember I said sometimes when we hit hardships, all of a sudden we start looking for God? Guess what Hezekiah did? He started looking for God. He goes to the temple. He rips his clothes. He says, send word to Isaiah the prophet. And this is when the word of the Lord comes. When the man shows up with deep roots, Isaiah says to him, tell your master God's word. Do not at all be concerned about what you've heard from the king of Assyria's boot-licking errand boys. I love this, man. These outrageous blasphemies. Here's what I'm going to do. Afflict him with self-doubt, and he's going to hear a rumor and, frightened for his life, retreat to his own country, and what's there, I'll see to it that he gets killed. And by the way, that's exactly what happened. He heard a rumor about two kings that were going to attack him. He left, but here's the thing. He didn't leave with all of his troops. He ran away. He left his troops, 185,000. And when he comes back to check on them, here's what's happened. And it wasn't long before Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent word to Hezekiah, God's word, you've prayed to me regarding Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. I've heard your prayer, and this is my response to him. I love this. God can talk smack. The virgin daughter of Zion holds you in utter contempt. Daughter of Jerusalem thinks you're nothing but scum. Who do you think it is you've insulted? Who do you think you've been bad-mouthing? Before whom do you suppose you've been strutting? The Holy One of Israel, that's who. Did it never occur to you that I'm behind all of this? Long, long ago, I drew up the plans, and now I've gone into action, using you as a doomsday weapon, reducing proud cities to piles of rubble, leaving their people disgruntled, slumped shoulders, limp souls, useless as weeds, fragile as glass, like windblown chaff. I know when you sit, when you come, when you go, and yes, I've marked every one of your temper tantrums against me. How would you like God to tell you that? It is because of your temper, your blasphemous, foul temper, that I'm putting my hook in your nose, my bit in your mouth, and turning you back to where you came from. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 19:33-37. To sum it up, this is what God said regarding the king of Assyria. He won't enter this city, nor shoot so much as a single arrow there. He won't brandish a shield. He won't even begin to set siege. He'll go home by the same road he came. He will not enter this city, God's word. I will shield this city. I will save this city for my sake and for David's sake. And so what happened? That very night, an angel of the Lord. How many angels? One angel came and massacred how many Assyrians? 185,000. Earlier, how many did I tell you the king of Assyria had in his troops? 185. Do not mess with an angel. When the people of Jerusalem got up the next morning, there it was, a whole camp of corpses. And Sennacherib, I don't know why I can't talk. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, got out of there fast, headed straight for home in Nineveh, and stayed put. And one day he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nisroch. His sons, Adramelech and Shizar, murdered him, and he escaped to the land of Arad, and his son, Eshadan, became the next king. Basically, they're saying, listen, it was the end of it. It was the end of him. Now, why? I'm going to tell you why. Because he messed with God's kids. He messed with God's kids. When the enemy messes with you, he's messing with God's kids. And if you will put your trust in God, if you will rip out the bad roots and put down some good roots, if you will plant them and water them and press through the tough times, listen to me, God will come to your defense. Because that's who he is. When we read this parable, Jesus used it in Luke 13. He said, I have been looking for good fruit from that tree, and it hasn't done anything. Rip it out. And the vineyard guy says, you know what, listen, just give me another year. Give me a little more time to water it, to fertilize it, try to get fruit out of it. Now listen, I'm going to say something that's going to come across strong. And I don't want it to come across strong. I want it to come across honest. But I feel like God has been waiting on some of you for a while. Those who haven't given all yet. Those who aren't following him fully yet. You want a little bit of God and you want a little bit of the world. Those of you whom God has spoken to, God has told you, God has said, step out. God has said, obey me. God has said, now is the time. And you've just kind of thrown your hand up and said, well, I don't know. I don't think I'm ready yet, God. And you haven't done it. You haven't moved in obedience. And I feel like I'm saying, God, give them a little more time. Listen, in the areas that you have bad fruit, you need to decide to do something. If your marriage isn't where it ought to be, do something about it. If your life isn't where it ought to be, do something about it. If your relationships aren't where you know they ought to be, do something about it. Plant, water, and fertilize. Why? Because you can put your roots downward again so that you bear fruit upward. And that's God's word.